Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I have a special program for you today. I have a special guest. We're going to talk about a subject that every one of you, every human being in America over the age of 8 months knows about this, has heard this word, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to devote the entire hour to it. And I will introduce my guest in a minute, but let me get some stuff out of the way that I have to get out of the way up front. Welcome to the show. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host here for 19 years on KFBK, the longest running show on senior issues in California, probably the United States. Every week right here for 19 years. Next year we'll start our 20th year. That's stunning when I think about it. A couple things to get out of the way. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, not me. Preferably one that knows what they're talking about. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request, recorded and registered in Sacramento County, California. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be. And everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken, although correct much of the time, should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. It is my opinion only. A couple ways to get a hold of me. My website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. If you go there, you can sign up for my upcoming workshops. You can send me an email. You can listen to my podcast, archive podcasts, and radio shows. We're going to be putting those up on video soon, folks. You get to see my handsome face, a face made for radio. You can call me, always a good way to get a hold of me. You can call my 800 number, even if you're in Sacramento, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. We are going to get deep into the subject of dementia today. And you're going to hear not what you think you're going to hear. You're going to hear us go in an entirely different way. Before I introduce my guest, who has been on my show before, he's my favorite elder law attorney. He's got his own radio program, and he's been on my show many times. I'll introduce him in a minute, but I want to read you a couple things. And I want you to listen to them, and then we're going to talk about what I read in depth. So you can take notes. Don't do this if you're driving down the car. You can also re-listen to this show on my website, assetsandaging.com, if you want more time. But you need to share this show because we are going to talk about a subject that nobody, including your doctor, nobody wants to talk about. I want to read you three quick quotes from articles. Two of them are from the Wall Street Journal. Actually, there could be three of them, but I don't have time for the third one. The Wall Street Journal is the only newspaper in America that cares about this stuff. They're the only ones writing about it. And I want to read you two quotes from the Wall Street Journal and then one from the UK Telegraph. That's right, the UK Telegraph. The first thing I want to read to you, and then I'll introduce my guest, is from the Wednesday, November 15th issue of the Wall Street Journal on page A17, and it's a book review. And you go, book review? Bob, why are you reading a book review? Well, you'll understand in a minute. This is a book written by a guy named Joseph Jabelli. Don't worry about him. The article is written by David Schenck. David Schenck is the author and the creator of The Forgetting, probably the largest single book PBS special ever on the issues of dementia. It was probably done 10 to 12, 13 years ago. And so the reviewer is deep into this subject. But I want to read you something from his book review of this book, and I want you to listen. And these three quick quotes will define the subject today. Finally, it would hit me. I wasn't hearing any joke. I was hearing the sound of panic. Everyone is petrified of Alzheimer's. In a study done probably 15 years ago, they asked seniors, what do you fear most, death or a nursing home? And it was like 95% to 5%. This is not out of the art. This is me now. Who were more afraid of long-term care and a nursing home than they were of dying. So listen to what the author is saying again. Everyone is petrified of Alzheimer's to the point of not wanting to contemplate it. People will call it anything but dementia. They will say, my dad is a little forgetful. Mom forgets to take her pills sometimes. Mom gets a little confused sometimes. People will do anything to even avoid using the word. I continue reading. And rightly so. It is existentially and uniquely horrifying. I had someone in my office the other day ask me, folks, about their mom who had a little dementia. How do you think this is going to end? And my answer to her was probably not well. It's a horrifying disease. It is existentially and uniquely horrifying. I have lost myself, the first patient of Dr. Alzheimer's said in 1901. The disease, for those of you who don't know, is named after a doctor who first explored it. Didn't discover it, it was in existence, but explored it and saw it for what it was, which was a disease. I have lost myself, and that's exactly what happens. Over many years, this disease imperceptibly, insidiously attacks an otherwise healthy human being, eating away at normal brain function by ripping out neurons and synapses one by one. It eliminates our understanding of the world around us, the recognition of the people we love, and ultimately our basic sense of who we are. We lose ourselves. I want to read you one more thing, two more things, very quickly. This next one is from a doctor. This is in the Wall Street Journal, Monday, November 13th, page R8. And it's written by Mark Agronin, I believe. And Agronin is a geriatric psychiatrist in Florida. So we're talking about someone that has a, you know, some smarts. And here's what he says at the beginning of this article, which is called Dementia's Tragic Toll on Families. How long have I been saying, and my guest will tell you in a minute, one of the hardest things to do is to get families involved in this. They tend to isolate the person with the disease because it's difficult on families. Let me read you what Dr. Agronin says. When a family member suffers from dementia, we tend to view it as an individual tragedy. But too often this, and I love this phrase, folks, this wrecking ball of a disease takes a toll on the entire family. I'm going to read you one more thing, and this is then we're going to get my guest in here, and we're going to talk about this. This is from the UK Telegraph. It's a newspaper in England. This is from 11/7/17. Notice all of these are current. And I want to read you this statistic, and I want you to contemplate the statistic for a minute. In England, I'm reading from the newspaper article, dementia is now Britain's biggest killer, overtaking heart disease for the first time. Some 70,366 people died from Alzheimer's disease last year, compared to around 66,000 deaths from heart disease. Let that sink in for a minute. We're all worried about the heart attack. We're all worried about the stroke. We're all worried about cancer. What none of us worry about, because we don't like to talk about it, is that Alzheimer's is a terminal disease. And in England now, more people die from Alzheimer's than die from heart disease. And then one other thing I want you to contemplate, and I'm going to bring my guest in. Insurance pays if you have a heart attack. Insurance doesn't pay if you have Alzheimer's. So which one, as we look at all of this today, is the greater financial danger, the greater financial stress, the greater financial tragedy, which has a larger negative impact on a family financially? Heart disease, covered by insurance, covered by Medicare, or Alzheimer's and dementia, not covered by Medicare, not covered by insurance. With that introduction to dementia, I want to introduce my guest. Dustin, why don't you I've known Dustin, I don't know how many years, but why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Bob. I appreciate it. My name is Dustin McFarland. I am an elder law attorney. My office is in Fair Oaks, and the purpose of my practice, what gets me out of bed every morning, is finding ways to protect families, whether it's parents, grandparents, spouses, or children. We're always looking for ways to protect families.
We talk, you've been in my workshops, I've been to your workshops, I've known you for a long time. We talk all the time about the results of dementia. We talk about protecting assets, we talk about finances, we talk about veterans benefits, we talk about Medi-Cal, we talk about all the stuff.
It's kind of after the fact.
It's after the fact. And we talk about that because usually by the time people get to us, somebody in the family has a little memory problem.
Yeah, you could say that. They have a little memory problem, or they've gotten a little sick, or they're having some problems. And so that's when people think, oh my goodness, we need to try to do something or fix this.
Do most families, I know the answer in my experience, and I've been doing it 25 years. In your experience, when most families walk in, and they sit down with you, or they sit down with me, or they sit down with other people we know who do this all the time, are they direct? Are they, well, my mom has dementia, my mom has Alzheimer's, we know this is not going to end well, we need to deal with this, so let's get going and deal with this. Or what do you usually get? Do you get families confronting dementia head on, or what do you usually get?
So most of the time, families want to avoid the problem, and they can't admit that it really exists or the severity of it. And I think that's, we all suffer from that same complex of not wanting to admit that the situation is worse than it really is. We don't want to admit that it's real.
People avoid the use of the word, don't they? I mean, they will call dementia or Alzheimer's
Or they'll call it something, or they will they'll try to downgrade it. It's a cognitive impairment. It's a memory problem. It's not dementia.
I want to ask you all listening to this a question. How many of you listening to this show right now? And I ask the same question at all my workshops. By the way, my next workshop is on my last one of the year is on December 2nd at the Crown Plaza. It's free. You can sign up online or you can call me. And Dustin is going to join me at that workshop, the only time this year. And it's one you're not going to want to miss, because we're going to be talking about the implications of dementia in a way you've never heard anybody talk about before. But they can't even use the word. That people are so afraid of using the word dementia that you can sit in a family sometimes. I know you've done this, I've done this, and there's two kids there and mom and dad. And yeah. We'll pick on dad.
Sure.
And dad thinks it's 1947, okay? And he's just come back from the war or whatever it is. And the family is doing what?
They're covering for him. They're hiding it. They're doing everything they can to make sure that nobody knows that dad has the problem that he really has.
For some reason, we have stigmatized dementia. We can talk about cancer. We can talk about dad had a heart attack. I've got diabetes.
But that's relatively new.
Yeah.
I mean, how many little old ladies do you know that we had to whisper the word cancer? You know, couldn't say it out loud.
Couldn't say it. But we've kind of accepted what we think of our diseases that are not our fault. But somehow we have ascribed to dementia and Alzheimer's something else, and it's a disease we don't want to talk about, because like a lot of brain diseases, or whether it's schizophrenia or bipolar disease or psychosis or whatever, we don't like talking about brain diseases. So families will do almost anything to avoid especially in front of the person with dementia, will do almost anything to avoid it.
Absolutely. In fact, when I speak for the Alzheimer's Association, they will come up and tell me, be very careful what you say. There are three PODs in the audience. And I said, what's a POD? A person, a PWD, a person with diagnosis. And I didn't know that we now have a new name for calling some. We can't just say they have dementia. We're trying to hide it. And what I think, and I think what you think, is we need to get in front of it and confront it head on.
We need to, again, I got sidetracked a little bit because something else popped into my head. That happens a lot, folks. But I was talking about, I want to ask you all a question. And I asked this in my workshops. Dustin asked this question. Lots of people I know. How many of you now know or have ever known, and I'm going to have you raise your hand at home. Don't raise your hand if you're driving. How many of you now know or have ever known anybody with dementia? Okay, I'd like to pause here, but if I pause, the silence alarm goes off and the station gets upset. So I'd like you to think about this. So while I'm asking, talking here, I want you to think about who it is in your family or you love or you know or your best friend or whoever that had dementia. I'm not even going to mention the word Alzheimer's because it's too hard for people to hear. How many of you know somebody? Now, I want to ask you this question. As you think about that person, what did you think of them? Did you think they were strange? Did you look forward to going and seeing them? Did you look forward to hearing their stories? Did you become frustrated when they would tell you the same thing? How many of you have talked to a parent or a grandparent and you call them on the phone and you ask them how things are going? And if it's like my mother was, for the next 20 minutes that I'm on the phone, I will hear the same six stories over and over and over again. And when that happens, how do you feel about that? When you talk to clients and they're clearly dealing with someone that has dementia, what kinds of steps will they take to not confront that?
Well, I think that they go out of their way to hide that disease. Just recently, we had this really fantastic family in my office, and it was a son and his parents, and they were talking about dad having a little memory problem. And so I kind of just, but dad did none of the talking. It was mom and son who did all the talking. And so I kind of just slid a yellow pad in front of the dad and I said, "Hey, I can't remember your name. Would you write your name down for me again so I could remember it?" And after 10 minutes, it was apparent to all of us in the room that he couldn't remember his name and he couldn't remember how to write it. And I think that was kind of a turning point in the conversation when they realized this is much more serious. When I started out and I said, "How's dad doing?" Both son and wife said, "Oh, he's fine. He's just a little memory loss." Not being able to write your name, that was a turning point. And they hadn't faced that before.
And a lot of people, and I, that would be my next question in this case, were they now accepting of that reality, or were they still trying to pretend that somehow dad was going to be okay, or he was going to get better, or they could give him some supplement or some vitamin, and that was all going to be okay?
I don't know if accepting was the right word, but when we talked about options to address the issue, and I'm an estate planning attorney, so I'm talking about estate planning kind of fixes to this problem. And they were very receptive to what I had to say, because we had finally come to common ground, which is mom is doing great, but she's in her late 80s. Dad is in his early 90s and not doing great. And the kids really need to be more involved.
Mom has a little dementia. Okay. I don't know what that means, but we're going to use that very scientific term. Mom has a little dementia.
Okay.
Is it too late for the family to start dealing with mom and what's to come? Just yes or no?
No, it's not too late.
Okay, we're a little farther down the road. Mom now has letters from two doctors because somebody told him that they needed this for their power of attorney that says mom doesn't know what planet she lives on. And we're only a few months down the road. Several months ago, mom just had a little dementia, still knew who she was. It wasn't too late. Now we've got letters from two doctors saying mom doesn't know where she is. Have we exhausted a whole bunch of options?
Yeah, we've really closed the door on a lot of estate planning options that would be available to protect the estate. And our biggest thing we're protecting the estate from now are criminals, on people who are trying to commit fraud or just outright steal from seniors, because seniors are susceptible. So if that is the case and that we have letters from doctors, we've really closed the door on a lot of options.
And one of the reasons the door got closed, and I want to focus on this and I want you all to listen to this, is because the family from the very beginning could not speak. How many of you remember Harry Potter? All of you remember Harry Potter. Remember Harry Potter? Well, remember there was a bad guy, right? You all remember, don't say his name. Because you remember that all the Harry Potter characters and everybody else were not allowed to speak. He whose name cannot be spoken. By the way, his name was Voldemort. I can speak it. But dementia is the same kind of thing. It's the name that can't be spoken.
So I would say that that's half of the problem, Bob. I think the other half of the problem is that, so if you can't admit there's a problem, that's huge. But then there's really no solutions. So I don't know of anyone out there who is saying, if you have a little memory problem, we can help structure your life so that you can easily take care of your parent. You can prevent them from having everything stolen. You can prevent them from losing all of their money to healthcare. You can prevent them from, and the list goes on, but we see so many elder abuse and fraud cases now that police departments are inundated, APS is inundated, and nobody has something right on the forefront saying, we're going to stop the problem before it becomes a problem.
Nobody else
is doing it.
Yeah, nobody's doing it, and part of the reason is nobody wants to talk about those things, and they have to be talked about. And not only that, if it's really important, not only do we want the kids to be able to take care of mom or whoever it's going to be? Or is, by the way, is it automatic just because you're married that one spouse can make all the decisions for the other spouse?
No, that's not automatic. That's opposite of automatic.
Okay. No. So if you're getting older, and remember I asked you to all think about that person in your family who has dementia. If you become that person, now I want you to really think about this for a minute. If you become that person, what do you want? Who do you want making decisions for you? How do you want to be treated? Where do you want to be? If you can't be at home, how do you want to be taken care of? Go back and think about that person that couldn't manage their own life. If that becomes you, if that becomes your mom, but if that becomes you or your spouse, what have you done to make sure that when that happens to you, you've chosen in advance how you want your life to be lived out, who you want making decisions for your life, where you want to live, how you want to live. People say to me all the time, well, I want to stay at home. Great, I want you to stay at home too. But what happens, Dustin, if you can't articulate that?
So then bad things happen. You end up going to live somewhere else. So, and I think, building on that, Bob, we not only want to make sure you can live at home if that's where you want to live, but we also want to make sure that no one takes your property so you always have a home to live in.
We're going to introduce a concept that Dustin came up with. I'd like to say it was my concept, folks. I can't. I'd like to steal it from him, but I can't. Okay, and we're going to talk about that in the second half hour. And it's a great, I about fell over when he mentioned it to me the other day, and that's why he's on this radio show. And he has got a name for it. And you've called this concept what?
I call it Dementia Guard. And it's aggressive estate planning for seniors. And that's really what we're doing.
It's making sure that if again, let's go back to that person you're thinking about that I asked you to think about earlier. If that becomes you, wouldn't it be nice for you to know that you're going to be warm and safe and taken care of and protected and watched over and provided with the best care possible, that your money will be used for what you wanted it used for your care, and that you make sure that your children, your loved ones, your families are the ones that ultimately received what you worked a lifetime for, not someone else, not someone who takes advantage of you. By the way, it goes on more than you can imagine.
We're going to share a couple stories.
And we are going to share some stories when we come back. So when we come back, Dustin's going to talk some more about this concept he has that he calls Dementia Guard. I love the idea. I love the name. I love everything about it. So during the break, give me a call. Get to the workshop on the 2nd. Dustin will be there talking about Dementia Guard. We're going to talk a lot about dementia on the 2nd of December. Take time during the break to call me, 800-999-8007. I'll send you tickets. You're not going to want to miss this. It's the last workshop of the year. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up there. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to talk more about dementia. We're going to talk more about the workshop and more about Dementia Guard and the importance of dealing with this before it happens. And yeah, we've got some stories. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple minutes after the news and a few other things right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Be back in just a couple seconds. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm here with elder law attorney Dustin McFarlane. By the way, I'm proud to say that I think Dustin is an elder law attorney partly because of my encouragement years ago.
A big partly.
Because I thought it was so important. He came to the law not as the normal 23-year-old. He had some life experience, and I thought his life experience would help him a lot with dealing with this issue, and I'm thrilled to have him sitting here today and to have known him for all this time. Welcome back to Assets and Aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Again, I'm joined by Dustin McFarlane, elder law attorney. We're talking about dementia. Notice the focus today is in on how you get Medi-Cal, how you get VA benefits. It's about all the stuff that happens before that happens. As we're beginning as a family to deal with the reality that there's someone that we love whose thinking has become clouded. And they are now in the middle of what one of the authors earlier called this wrecking ball of a disease called dementia/Alzheimer's.
Well, and Bob, I walked into your office and I saw an alarm pad on the side of the wall, and you have somebody monitoring to make sure that you're safe at night.
Yep.
And that's what really we're looking to do. We're looking to make sure that somebody else is looking over your shoulder so that you're not the subject of elder abuse, financial elder abuse.
One other thing, we're going to talk a couple stories about this that I think are important. And this is my favorite story. When people come in to talk to me and they tell me dad or mom or whoever is a little out of it, I'll just ask them a couple questions like, you know, do they know names? Do they know who they are? Do they know their grandchildren? Do they, you know, and sometimes I'll say, do they know the grandchildren? most of the time. Do they know all the kids' names? Most of the time. Okay, something like that. But one of the questions I ask is if I took dad two blocks away from home and I dropped him off on a corner, would he find his way home? How many of you get these phone calls from the sheriff's department? We've all gotten them. They're robocalls, and it says, a 75-year-old man has wandered away from home, and they give his description, and they go, if you see him, call 911 or call the sheriff's department. Now, how many of you have gotten those? Over the years, I've received lots of them. So I ask, if we took dad 2 blocks away from home and we dropped him off on the corner, would he find his way home? And this is how much people don't like talking about this. And I was with a family. I was with mom and her 2 children. And I said, could he find his way home? He wasn't there. And she said, oh yeah, that happened once. And I went, what do you mean that happened once? Well, she said, we were in the grocery store and we were shopping, and he wandered away from me, and he wandered out the front door, and he didn't know where I was, and we lived close to the grocery store, so he walked home. And I sat there for a minute, incredulous. How many of you know where I'm going with this? Have you figured this out yet? Because many of you are saying, well, he found his way home and must be okay. Remember the story. So I looked at the two children, I don't remember if they're daughters or sons and daughters, whatever. I looked at the 2 children and I said, did you hear what your mother just said? And they said, well, yeah. I said, do you understand your mother just told me that her husband got lost in a grocery store? He walked outside the, he got separated from her, didn't know where she was in the grocery store, walked outside the grocery store, didn't know how to walk back inside the grocery store, and managed to find his way home. The family was in such denial that they never did accept the fact that Dad had dementia, and the fact that he had become lost in a grocery store was a sign that things were not going to get better. I would imagine they got worse. I never heard back from them. Evidently, they figured out it was going to all rectify itself somewhere. And I know, Dustin, that this happens to you a lot. You see people who clearly have some signs of whatever we want to call it. By the way, there's what, 8 or 9 different forms of dementia?
There's a lot of forms of dementia. And what we're seeing, we get calls every single day about people who are worried about either a family member is taking advantage of a senior, a caregiver is taking advantage of a senior. Just yesterday, I was sitting with a woman and her daughter, and they were talking about the grandson scam, where somebody called them and said, "Hey, Grandma, don't tell my parents, but I'm in jail and I need you to wire transfer me some money for bail." And so she transferred $10,000. She went down to Western Union and transferred $10,000 to this fictitious grandson, and that money is gone. We've seen other instances where caregivers wind up with their name on the deed of the house, yes, or with or they just move in and they won't move out. Caregivers, not even family members. We've seen where contractors find a senior who lives alone and who doesn't have family in there every day. So that contractor has become their new best friend.
Neighbors.
Neighbors do it. I have neighbors bring in their senior friend saying, "Hey, we're really concerned about our neighbor. And by the way, this lady wants to pay us X number of dollars a day or a month to help take care of her." Let me tell you, folks, it's all about the money. And so what Dementia Guard is about is getting in front of these problems before they exist. One of my favorites is a contractor, alleged, you know, he's not real, but these are all scam artists, knocks on the door of a senior couple and says, or senior lady, and says, "Hey, your driveway is not in compliance with county codes and it needs to be repoured, and we can do that for you." And she wrote them a check for $80,000. $80,000. So what could have been done? What steps could you have taken, or would it be worth taking, to make sure that your loved ones aren't subject to this? I mean, what if we could stop that, Bob?
It not only can it be stopped, but I had somebody in my office today, and an only child, loves his dad, has finally gotten involved in his dad's life. Dad had some dementia. They were not real close, but he's the only child, and tag, you're it. You know, he's stepped up to the plate and willing to be the responsible adult. And as he began to explore his dad's finances, the property tax bills haven't been paid. The house is about to be foreclosed on. There's credit card bills that haven't been paid.
One of the worst is letting insurance lapse.
Yes.
I mean, whether it's life insurance or health insurance, there's no going back. There's no unringing the bell on that.
How many of you folks have seen this? And I've seen it more than once. In fact, the gentleman I was just talking about, the son, one of his first clues was this. How many of you have gone in to see your mom or dad or grammy or grampy or whoever has dementia? You know, not really dementia. Remember, it's just a little bit of forgetfulness.
How about just getting older and can't manage everything?
Yes. And there's mail everywhere. There's mail on the tables. There's mail everywhere. And when the family starts going through it, they find out that the person with dementia, who likes to have things to do, answers every credit card application, signs up for every magazine, signs up for every club, for every newsletter. Donates to every charity, because if you do all that, what do you get back? You get more mail. And there's more to do and more to keep you occupied.
So we got to figure out a way to prevent this.
One of the things we have to do is begin to acknowledge dementia for what it is. It's a disease that robs your mind, everybody's mind that has it, of the ability, as one of the authors said, and as Dr. Alzheimer's patient said, I don't have myself anymore. I don't know myself anymore.
So one of the things, I think that's exactly true. And I think one of the first things that goes in most people are executive functions. The ability to manage your calendar, manage your finances, balance the checkbook, pay all the bills on time. You still know who your kids are, but what if you can't keep track of all that stuff? It's laborious and you just don't really know. If I ask you, what's the balance of your checking account? If you're not close or have no idea, that's a problem. So even though it really may be a little memory problem, there's big gaping holes in that little memory problem, like these executive or administrative functions.
So there are things like balancing a checkbook, paying your bills on time, especially insurance premiums. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over my life of doing this, who mom and dad had a life insurance policy,
yeah,
or had something, and they let it lapse. And the reason they let it lapse is not because they're stupid or they weren't paying attention. It's because they had dementia and they didn't know the bill had to be paid because they didn't understand it. They didn't understand what prescription they were. How many of you know for a fact what drugs your mom and dad or grandma and grandpa are taking? How many of you know that they're taking the drug? How many of you know what drug, who their doctor is? How many of you have access to the medical information from their doctor? Well, I'm their daughter. Of course I can go. I'm their son. Of course I can get information.
Yeah, it just doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way, does it? So executive function, how many of you have driven, mom doesn't have dementia. She just is a little forgetful. When was the last time you were in the car with mom and asked her to drive you somewhere? Did she know where she was going?
Yeah, and so that never happens. We don't see it because if we're in the car with a little old lady, guess what? She's in the passenger seat. We don't let her drive. I won't let my kids drive with my grandmother, and I love her to death. Grandma, I hope you're not listening, but I'm sorry. You're a little bit older and a little bit more forgetful and probably not as safe as you used to be.
How many of you take your mom to the doctor and you're a little concerned? And you're a little concerned about mom, and mom goes to the doctor, and the doctor talks to your mom for 10 minutes and says, there's nothing wrong here. How many of you then are willing to confront the doctor and say, but wait a minute, doc, here's what mom did in the last 3 days, or in the last week, or the last month? Instead, we go home, and mom, who has dementia, goes home with the assurances of her doctor that there's nothing wrong.
So let's just assume that's true. We still have a little old lady living alone at home who is ready, just primed to be a victim from these guys who prey upon little old ladies. We have a little old lady who probably can't manage all of her meds or can't remember what to take. We have a little old lady who is just waiting, a gazelle at the pond. I mean, they're guys out there waiting to prey upon these our seniors as victims. And when you go and talk to people about this, when you go talk to the police or Adult Protective Services, these are really all after the fact and trying to find remedies. And again, we're trying to get in front of this and prevent this stuff from happening. I don't want the call that you bought an $80,000 driveway or that you gave the house to the caregiver. I don't want a call that you let the life insurance or the health insurance lapse. I mean, I don't know about you, but we got to prevent this stuff.
Half of all people over 80 have dementia. Half, I'll say it again. I will say this. Physiologically, when you're 30 years old, your brain takes up the entire cranium. There's no gap. By the time you're 85, there's a 1-inch gap between your brain and your cranium. We are all going to become less functional, less functioning. We are all going to become, it's just going to happen, folks. We're going to forget names. We're not going to be able to find words. We're not going to remember how to get to the restaurant we used to go to 37 times. That's going to happen to our parents. It's going to happen to our grandparents. And it's going to happen to you as you get older. And what we're trying to talk about today in as cogent a way as possible without scaring anybody is that wouldn't it make more sense to be out in front of this rather than be reacting to it. Wouldn't it be better to be making proactive decisions about yourself or about mom or dad than reactive decisions when our options may be severely limited by circumstance, by health, by arguing family members, which I want to talk about again in a minute.
Sure, I just got to jump in here that if we're reactive, I want to tell you, for the assets, it's too late. If that money is gone, so we either get in front of it and prevent it from being taken, or it's just gone. The police can't get it back. Lawyers generally can't get it back. It is gone.
It's something that, again, he whose name shall not be named. It's something we don't like talking about. It's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. I've been doing it for 30 years. And the saddest day of my life, the days I come home in tears, and I come home in tears often, and the older I get, the more often, is when I sit in a room with someone who knows, now listen to what I'm saying, who knows they have Alzheimer's. There's still enough left that they've been told by their doctor they have Alzheimer's. They know what that means, and they know what's coming.
But they don't have to suffer from all of the effects.
No.
We can help manage at least part of their life so that they don't have to stress or worry about it.
And yet, how many people did you know, have you known in your life, that when you looked at them, you went, oh, you know, Fred, he doesn't think too clearly anymore. And we all laugh it off, and we cast it off to a little forgetfulness, a little dementia, old age, all those kinds of things. And then how many of those people have you watched get worse and worse, or as my mom would say, worser and worser? and you sit there and we watch this all the time. We watch friends retreat, we watch family retreat, instead of gathering around and hitting this head on and solving this as a family.
You know who comes around though?
Oh well, yeah.
Yeah, people who are interested in what you have.
And what you have. So when Dustin talks about Dementia Guard, which I love the concept, we'll be talking about that a lot at the workshop. Again, the workshop, it's going to be my workshop. Dustin's coming. I'm excited about it. I asked him to come and talk about this in more detail. And that's going to be, it's the last one of the year for me. It's on Saturday, December the 2nd. Saturday, December the 2nd. There's still plenty of time to go Christmas shopping, so don't give me you can't come because you're Christmas shopping. Saturday, December the 2nd at 10 o'clock at the Crown Plaza Hotel. For those of you that are old-timers, that's the old Holiday Inn by Madison and 80. It's now Crown Plaza. I've been doing workshops there for 20 years. It'll start at 10 o'clock in the morning. Not at night. Don't show up at night. I won't be there. 10 o'clock in the morning, Saturday the 2nd. Here's the important part. I know everybody cares about this. It's free. What if I charge $3? Would nobody come? It's free. So
and better cookies.
Yeah. And there'll be some coffee there to wake you up. And we're going to spend about an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes together. You're going to have lots of time to ask questions. And we're going to talk about the reality of dementia, whatever you want to call it. There's 8 to 10 kinds, depending on what list you look at. We're just going to call it dementia. And we're going to talk about how you can prepare for that, how you can protect your mom, how you can protect yourself. We talked about strangers a little bit. Most elder abuse is family members.
Most, yeah.
So we got a granddaughter. I'm not picking on anybody. We got a granddaughter. And a granddaughter has a husband. Let's make this more interesting. And grandma loves her granddaughter. Or yeah. Could it be a grandson? Don't get hung up on the details, folks. And the granddaughter has figured out what?
That grandma can't remember how much money she was given. Or grandma can't figure out that, or grandma doesn't know that money's missing from a checking account, or that granddaughter still has the ATM or debit card.
Why don't grandma's children know this?
Because it's a secret, or because granddaughter comes around more often, or because nobody asks. And the real problem is because the kids aren't involved enough. They're not the insulating or protective layer between grandma and granddaughter.
I know somebody, a family, that after the mom died, one of the children was going through stuff and was going through mom's bank accounts. Bank statements. She had never seen mom's bank statements before.
Insane.
And is going through mom's bank statements.
Okay.
And noticed all these checks written to a grandson for $500 cash. And in 1 year, he figured out that this grandson had taken at least $25,000 that nobody knew about. And of course, it was a secret. And by the way, a lot of the family paid no attention to it because the nephew was kind of taking care of, the grandson was kind of taking care of grandma. So everybody was happy that he took grandma to the pharmacist and he took grandma, or his wife took grandma to the doctor.
So it could have been legitimate, but at the same time, let's make sure that it is. Because
in this case, it wasn't, but they didn't find out about it
until it was too late.
And let me tell you what it cost. That grandson's father and he haven't talked to each other in years. They have completely lost their relationship as father and son over this, and they found out about it accidentally. Family members don't always have grandma or mom's best interest at heart, do they?
No, they generally, I mean, it's first of all, folks, it's always about the money. It is not about, and we want to make it about the senior. We want to make it about grandma and taking care of her and making sure she's warm and safe. And that is the primary focus of a dementia guard plan. If you have a grandson who is in there, let's just make sure everything's right. Let's make sure everything's up and up and nobody's taking advantage of grandma.
And here's the other thing too. The focus, everybody talks when they do a trust, they do whatever. The subject is, there's two subjects. One, I want to avoid probate. Let's avoid probate.
Okay, it's easy.
And the other one is, I want my kids to get what I got when I'm dead.
Right.
Nobody ever says, how do we protect what you have so that you get to use it first, so that you're taken care of, you're provided for, you have the best care possible for the day that it comes that you need some form of care because you have dementia or frailty or you have a stroke. The third question almost never gets answered, and that's really what Dementia Guard is about.
Well, and I'll tell you, too, that of all the problems, that's the biggest. If you're alive and need help and you're incapacitated, that is so difficult to deal with. And what we're trying to do is make it easier, make it more fluid, and make sure that your assets are there for your use for your entire life.
And people ask me all the time, when I'm talking to them, they'll say, well, what about my kids? What do they get? And my answer is always the same. I don't care about your kids. I care about that you, I cared, I didn't, I would, my brother and I didn't worry about my mother, our inheritance. We made sure that my mom was taken care of and her money was used to take care of her until she died.
Yeah, and not to a greedy grandchild and not to a contractor and not to a neighbor or a caregiver. It needs to be there for grandma, period.
And that's what what we're talking about today is recognizing dementia, calling it by its name, acknowledging that it exists in your family, acknowledging that it's happening to someone you love right now. I'll guarantee you it is. And acknowledging that it's better to deal with that in the beginning than to deal with the results at the end when it's really, really, really bad.
Well, and can I just add one more thing? We want to offer, we have a solution.
Yes.
That's just it. We have a solution. Nobody else has a solution. Everybody, from the police to anyone in the government, and most attorneys, they're only talking about death, distribution, what you have, and who gets it when you're dead. And this is first and foremost to protect your assets from being taken from you before you're done with it. We have a solution.
And this is really exciting, folks. This whole concept has been really exciting to me about beginning to not intervene after the fact, but intervene before we even know we need it. And so on the 2nd, of December, 10 o'clock a.m., Crown Plaza Hotel. I'll be doing a workshop, my last one of the year. I will be joined there by Mr. McFarland, elder law attorney. We are going to be talking in detail about Dementia Guard, about the issues of dementia, about protecting yourself and what you've worked a lifetime for, about managing your life and being in control of your life, even if you're not in control of your life. Picking the people you want making decisions, making sure that you're protected, or your mom or your dad are protected from evildoers, people who would separate them from what they've worked a lifetime for, and making sure that at the end of the day, you receive the best possible care that there is. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up there. But don't miss this workshop. You got 15 seconds for a closing thought, Mr. McFarland.
Hey, Bob, thank you very much for having me on today. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing everyone there on Saturday morning, the December 2nd. And anyway, we're excited about this.
I'm very excited about it, folks. And it's a new way, not a new way, it's a better way of looking at this. There are answers. We will have answers. This can be done. You can make sure that you are protected, your parents are protected, that all the things you wanted in life, you can have, and through one concept called Dementia Guard. 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. We'll look forward to seeing you here again next week right here on KFBK, and we will also see you on the 2nd at my workshop at the Crown Plaza, 800-999-8007. We'll see you then. Have a great day.